turn our Bibles tonight to Psalms chapter number 1. Psalms chapter number 1. Psalms chapter number 1. I'm thankful, Randy, for those songs that were sung tonight and studying this afternoon on what to preach and trying to find what the Lord would have me to say. Randy, the first song that you sang was Trust and Obey. It speaks of how we can be happy. The only way to be happy is to trust and obey. Then he went to the song, I am blessed. That word blessed in our text tonight means happy. Then Brother Randy sang, Somebody Love Me. You'll be happy in Jesus when you find that somebody loved you, answered your prayers, and saved your soul. That's what I'm going to speak tonight about, the blessed man, the happy man. Psalms chapter number 1. We find that this is considered a preface song. It's a psalm of the psalmist who desired to teach us the way to blessedness, the way to happiness, the way to joy. And it also warns us of sheer destruction. We see in Psalms number 1, in verses 1 through 3, you'll find the righteous man will prosper. But in Psalms chapter 1, verse 4 through 6, you'll find that the wicked man is going to perish. In Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we find the way of life. And in Psalms chapter 1, verses 4 and 6, we find the way of death. In Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, you find blessings and happiness and joy and favor. But in verses 4 and 6, you'll find cursings. In Psalms 1, there's only two types of men. There's only two ways. There's only two destinations. In Psalms chapter 1, there's no middle ground. There's no alternative way. There's no other ways to heaven. There's no other ways to God. There's only two ways. It's either a righteous man or wicked man. It's either saved or lost. It's either heaven or hell. We find Psalms chapter 1, chapter 1 is parallel to the Sermon on the Mount. We find that Psalms, it's the Old Testament, it's judgment, it's the law. But when you come to Jesus Christ preaching the greatest sermon, it's find grace and truth. But yet it parallels Psalms chapter number 1. In Psalms chapter number 1, we see there's two ways. There's heaven, hell, there's two men, there's two destinations, there's only two ways to get to heaven, or there's only two ways, heaven or hell. And Jesus Christ speaks of that in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteous sake. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. He talks about blessings. He talks about happiness. But he went on to say in the same sermon there on the mount in chapter 7, verse 13, enter ye at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. For many there be that go thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life. And few be there that find it. We find not only Jesus Christ is saying there's two ways, there's heaven and hell. There's two men, there's the righteous and wicked. There's only two destinations. That's what Psalms 1 is telling us tonight. There's only two ways. We find in verse number 1 the righteous man, the saved man. We find the practice of the blessed man. In verse 1, there's the negatives. There's the things that this righteous man, the happy man, the blessed man that does not do. But when you come to verse number 2, we find the positive, the things that he does do. In verse 3, we find the power of this blessed man. The blessed man finds his power in the rivers of water. We know that rivers of water, it's the idea of the Word of God. And we find in Hebrews 4:12 the power of the Word of God. It tells us, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. In 1 through 3, we find that the practice of this man. Verse 3, we find his power, but in verse 4, we find the permanence of the blessed man. There's going to be a permanent dwelling one day for the righteous man, for the saved, for those that are redeemed by the power of God. Psalms chapter number 1, verse 1, the Bible says, blessed is the man. Blessed is this man. 27 times in the Old Testament, the word blessed, it means favored. And 18 times, as we see here tonight, it means happy. He's saying blessed or happy is this man, is this woman. Well favored is this man, is this woman. Our Bible tells us tonight how that you and I can be happy and how we can be favored. He doesn't say blessed is the king, or blessed is the rich, or blessed is the scholar. He's saying blessed is the man. It implies that every one of us can be blessed. Every one of us can be happy. Every one of us can be well favored in the sight of the Almighty God. It implies we can obtain this favor. And let me say this tonight. Blessed are we that are saved. The Bible tells us, blessed is the man who the Lord imputeth not iniquities. I'm thankful God doesn't hold my iniquities against me tonight. He says, blessed is he that whose transgression is forgiven. I'm thank God when I'm saved and I'm under the blood of Christ, God can't see my sins. My sins are forgiven and they're gone and in the past. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him, the Bible declares. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, speaking of God the Father. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. And blessed, the Bible says in Revelation, blessed is he that readeth and heareth the words of this prophecy. We're here tonight not because God showed particular favor to us, but we're here tonight on the favor and the grace of Jesus Christ. He said, blessed is the man. Brother Randy sang that song, we're blessed. And I'm thankful that we're blessed. We're blessed because God's given us health. And we're blessed because God's given us food. And we're blessed because he's given us clothes. And he's given us a good place to come and worship. And all that's good and grand. But the Bible's telling us tonight, we're blessed, we're happy, we're favored because we're saved, we're redeemed, our sins are under the blood, we have an eternal home, and our names are written down in heaven. We're blessed tonight. We should rejoice tonight because we're redeemed. We should rejoice tonight because the Bible says that now there is no condemnation. We should rejoice tonight because our names are written in heaven. He said, blessed, happy, favored is the man. Is the man. Is that not what everyone wants is happiness? Everyone seeks after happiness. Our founding fathers knew something about the pursuit of happiness. They wrote in the Declaration of Independence, they said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what everyone wants, is to pursue happiness. We're taught at a young age that if we will pursue good jobs and good education and wealth and homes and pursue a partner, a spouse, a husband or wife, that we'll find that happiness. But the Word of God tells us when we pursue God himself, when we pursue Jesus Christ, then you and I can find true blessings, true blessed happiness and favor with God. Blessed is the man. Blessed is this man, this woman that finds favor with God. He tells us we're going to be happy. We're going to be blessed. We're going to be favored if, number one, we don't walk with certain people, or if we don't go with certain people, if we don't traverse or travel or follow the counsel of this certain people. He said, blessed is the man, happy is the man, well favored is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It's the idea of someone taking a trip or walking down the same path or the same journey with the ungodly. I'll submit to you tonight that you and I are on a trip. Peter said that we're nothing more than pilgrims and strangers passing through. You say, preacher, where are you going on the trip? I'm going to see the one that died for me and loved me and gave himself for me. We can be blessed tonight if we're on this trip, we're on this journey, and we don't walk with these ungodly that the Bible speaks of. I wonder tonight, where do you get your counsel from? Where do you get the, what's the word advice? Where do you get your advice? Where do you get your counsel from tonight? I pray it's not from Fox News. And God forbid it wouldn't be from CNN or NBC. But I say tonight, if we get our counsel, if we get our advice from the Word of God, He's telling us that we can be blessed. The psalmist says, the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Lord Jesus Christ, He gave us His Word to be a life. He gave us His Word to be a help, a very present help in time of trouble. He gave us His Word that should direct us and guide us and lead us and give us this counsel. The preaching of the Word should reprove us and it should exhort us and it should encourage us tonight that we can find happiness with Jesus Christ. The ungodly. It's the word, the wicked one. It's the word, idea of the guilty one, the unrighteous, those that are wrong. It's the idea, those that commit these habitual sins, those that violate God's word, and those that care nothing from the things of God. He's telling us we can be blessed if we walk not with those types of people. However, we notice these ungodly, these people, they get worse and worse. We see in this verse, it's a progression of the sinners, progression of these people. They find sin in for a season. And as we walk and those that are walk and they find pleasure in sin, there is pleasure in sin for a season. But it'll continually and it'll progressively get worse and worse and worse, never reaching satisfaction. You think of those that are addicted to substances. They'll start out with just a little, but it'll no longer feel their urge, and then it'll grow more and more and more until it's out of control. There's progression of these sinners. There's a progression of these ungodlies. He said, we can be happy, we can be blessed, we can be favored, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly or standeth in the way of sinners. This one's not only walking, but now he's starting to stand. It's the idea of someone that's remaining, someone that's stationary, someone that's camped out. I believe the Word of God is explaining this the best in Genesis chapter 13, verse 13. We find that the Bible says that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. When you come to the book of Psalms, it shadows the Old Testament. In Psalms 1, it shadows the book of Genesis. We find the book of Genesis, it starts out with the first Adam. But when you come to the book of Psalms, did I tell you the book of Psalms? It's the word Zamar, the word Psalms, and it means praise. He's saying tonight, we have something to praise about. We have something to lift our hands and to lift our voices about. When we come to the book of Psalms, there are those in verse number 1 that's walking and getting advice from the ungodly, and there's those that begin to camp out in the way of sinners. They're standing. They've walked, and now they're standing. And now it goes sitting in the seat of the scornful. They've made their home, their dwelling place. They've habited in the seat of the scornful. The ungodly were those that violated God's law, that were found guilty. These sinners are those that are wicked. Now the scornful are those that scoff at sin and make fun of those and make fun of you and I for being in the house of the Lord tonight. They're careless about the things of God. But notice verse 1. How are we going to be happy? How can we be blessed? How are we going to be favored with God? Just stay away from them. Set our affections on the things above. We see in verse number 1, there's the progression of these sinners. But notice in verse 2, there's a pondering of some saints. Verse 2, the Bible says, but his delight. This is the blessed man. This is you and I that's been saved and redeemed by the grace of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Whose delight? This blessed man, the happy man, the redeemed man, the saved man. It says his delight is in the law of the Lord. The delight, it's the idea of pleasure. It means a longing or a happiness. It has the word picture of to bend forward, to be interested in. I wonder tonight, are you interested in God's word? Do you find pleasure in God's word? One commentator said about this, that if someone delights in something, you don't have to beg or persuade them to indulge in it. Do you find it hard to study and to read and get excited about the living Word of God? It said his delight is in the law of the Lord, his longing, his happiness. He wants to bend toward it and look toward it for all that he does. It said he meditates, he ponders on it, he muses on it, he reads and studies and thinks about it. But the word meditate, Pastor, I was looking this afternoon, it means to groan and to growl. How can someone look at the Word of God and begin to groan and to growl at the Word of God? I started thinking about my favorite place to eat. When you order your favorite entree, and you order your favorite food and your favorite dessert, and they bring it out to you, and it's so beautiful and it's so decorated, and you begin to cut into it and to bite it, you start to say, good. I start thinking about that Campbell's soup commercial. I believe theirs was good. That's the word picture, to growl and to muse and to groan. Are we groaning and saying, oh, the Word of God is so good? It's so delicious. Do we meditate, read it day and night? He's not just saying two times, the day and night, it's the phrase continually, constant, thinking and musing on the Word of God. Charles Spurgeon said about Psalms 1, about this meditation, meditation chews the cud and gets the sweetness and virtue from the Word into the heart. This is the way the godly bring forth much fruit. I pray to God in 2019 that he would burden me and he would burden you for the Word of God, that we could read and muse and we could groan and growl and meditate on his precious Word. Verse 1, progression of sinners. Verse 2, we see some ponderings of the saint. But I see in verse number 3, there's some promises of spiritual stability. Verse 3, he says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This righteous man, this happy man, this blessed man, this favored man, those of us tonight that saved and redeemed, it says that he shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. I noticed this tree didn't just spring up. This tree just didn't find a spot and decide to grow. It says in verse 3, he's planted. It's the Hebrew word to transplant, to take it from one place and put it to another. See, this tree was once in the muck and mire. This tree once was in the pits of sin. This tree once was in the cesspool. This tree once was in a horrible pit, as David said, in the miry clay, lost and on its way to hell with no hope. But someone came along and transplanted it and put it by the rivers of water. Brother Randy, I just want to thank God for the day that Jesus Christ convicted me of my sins, showed me I was lost, and saved my precious soul. He put me on the solid rock. He put a song in my heart. He put a new song in my heart. The song we sing, Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I'm thankful he planted me by the rivers of water. I'm thankful he's established my going. I'm thankful he rooted me out of the place I was at, just like these ungodly, just like these sinners, and I'm in him, favored, happy, and blessed. A tree planted, its roots, I notice, are deep, its roots are fastened, its roots are firm, and its roots are secure. But he goes on to say this tree that's planted bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Bringeth forth, it's the words to give. God's done so much for us. He's blessed us. He's saved us. We ought to give all we have to him. We look at these trees at this time of year and they look lifeless, but soon that sap will begin to rise and that ground will get warmer and those buds will begin to bloom and that fragrance will begin to smell. It's those trees giving back, and that's what we should do. As we're planted by this river, we should bring forth our fruit and give our best to Jesus Christ. But the words caught my attention in his season. I noticed that this tree must not always bear fruit. This tree must not always be budding and must not always be blooming. You know, there's times in my life and there's times in your life, in your ministry and in my preaching, and it feels like it's just dead. It feels like it's dry. It feels it's non-productive. It's dry as a bone. I'll stand and try to preach and speak and witness, and it seems like there's no results, there's no effect, and it falls on deaf ear. But remember what this verse is telling us. A promise of spiritual stability. It says, in his season, in his time, there will be appointed time that sap will rise, that ground will warm, and will bring forth fruit, and we can give back to God. I'm thankful that tonight we can be encouraged, and it may seem like what we're doing is useless, what we're doing is to none effect, but there's a God in heaven that sees our fruit, he sees our effort, and in due time, it'll bring honor and glory to the one that saved us. Spiritual stability in verse number 3. He says, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This righteous man, this happy man, this blessed man, this well-favored man will bring forth fruit. His leaves will be green and alive. And in verse number 4, I see not only the progression of these sinners and the pondering of the saints, and we see the promise of spiritual stability, but I see the putting away of these sinners. It says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Everything's true about this righteous man, this happy man, this blessed man. They're planted firm. They're prosperous, they're going to bring forth fruit, they'll be strong, they'll be vibrant, they'll meditate on the things of God, but it's not so for the ungodly. We see in verse 4, this ungodly man, he's not firm, he's not stable, he's not strong, but he's like the chaff that the wind drives away. You know, today it may seem like the ungodly is prosperous, and they are. They have the favor of the world. It seems like they have the favor of the world's riches. And we see that one day it won't be so. It says the chaff, it's that light, dry husk around a grain of wheat. And to separate it, they'd tell me that they would take that wheat and they would throw it in the air. As that wind would come, it would drive all that deadness, dryness away. We're tonight standing on the solid rock. We're grounded like this tree planted by the rivers of water. Our foundation is firm. Jesus Christ is stable. The winds of life will blow. They'll come, and tribulations and trials will come our way. But we can be assured we're rooted in the Word of God. We're rooted in Jesus Christ. But this ungodly are not so. Therefore, the ungodly, verse 5, shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Seems like God's drawing a conclusion in verse number 5. He says, therefore, they shall not stand in judgment. One day a verdict will be given. The ungodly will be found wanting. They'll be found lacking. And it doesn't make me happy. And I'm not encouraged about it. But it should move us to pray for the lost, that they will be eternally separated from us and from God. Separated from what, preacher? From the righteous. Separated from this blessed man. Separated from this happy man. Separated from our Lord and Savior. One commentator said about verse 5, in this verse, the perpetrators of sin is gone, the presence of sin is gone, and the power of sin is gone. But David went on to say in Psalms 23, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 1. Did I tell you that it meant Zamar? It means praise. We have a lot to praise Him for tonight. We can praise Him that we have the Word of God. We can praise Him that we're blessed. We can praise Him we're happy. We can praise Him most of all because we're saved and redeemed. Psalms chapter 1. Father, we want to thank You for the Word of God. We want to thank You, Father, that we can be happy in Jesus. We want to thank You tonight for all Your many blessings. God, we want to thank You most of all that we're redeemed and saved. Lord, I pray You'd give us a burden to read the Word of God, to meditate upon the Word of God, and Father, to find a hiding place of the Word of God in our heart. Lord, I pray You would encourage us to pray for the lost, pray for the sinners, and pray for our community. Lord, I pray that You'd burden us like You've never burdened us before for a move of God here at Fletcher First Baptist Church. God, I thank You for these people. I thank You, Father, for all Your blessings. But most of all, that we're blessed, we're happy, and we're favored in God. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll ask everyone to stand tonight. Miss Brenda, if you'll come and play something softly on the piano. This altar's open. Maybe you're here tonight and you're like this blessed man. You want to just come and thank Him for saving you and redeeming you and giving you happy and favor in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I am saved. I know I've been born again. I know I've been saved and redeemed by the good grace of God. But I don't have the desire. I don't have the yearning. I don't have the longing of the Word of God like I used to have. Why don't you come and ask Him to rebirth that fire in your heart? Maybe you're here tonight and you're lost. You're not like this happy man. You're not like this blessed man. You can find happiness at the foot of the cross. Whatever your need is tonight, our Savior's here.